We're told here, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That's the man that worshipped him, not the demons. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Now will you notice, this man, not the demons, worshiped Jesus. He was afraid of Jesus. He suffered, I think you'd call it spiritual schizophrenia, a split personality. Sometimes it's the man, and sometimes it's the demon speaking. And in verse 7 we find that literally it is, "What is there to me and thee? What have we in common?" You see, this poor man, possessed by demons. Now Jesus commanded the demons to come out. And before they came out, Jesus asked the man his name. And I want you to notice that. He cried with a loud voice here in verse 7, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High?" Verse 8, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And notice that, but it's not bad grammar. He says, "My name," that seems to indicate the man was trying to speak, but the demons took over and said, "We are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the demons besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Now, this is something that's tremendous that's being given to us here. And the demons made a very peculiar request. They preferred swine to the abyss. And the permission of Jesus has been, as you well know, severely criticized by the liberals. Their objection has been that he would not destroy the swine, as the gentle Jesus wouldn't do things like that. That's nonsense, of course. I was having breakfast in Chicago with a man who had gone into liberalism, and I'd known him in school, and he'd been sound then, and he was talking about, you know, you'd think Jesus was one of the flower children, and the way he described him and all that sort of thing. And he used this illustration. He didn't believe Jesus would destroy swine, and he thought that was terrible. Well, to begin with, these people, of course, shouldn't have been in the pig business. The Mosaic law forbade it. And then this fellow, I reminded him about the fact that there were 2,000 pigs destroyed here, and apparently there were more pigs than that destroyed at the time of Noah. And the interesting thing, we were having breakfast together, and he had bacon. Oh, my. May I say to you, I said, "I wish the little piggy was here that you eaten part of him this morning to tell you what he thinks of you, for you weep like the walrus and the carpenter." And you remember, they just kept on eating the oysters, though. They wept because there was a lot of sand, but not because they were eating the oysters. They wept for the wrong thing. And I think we have a lot of that type of thinking about us today. Now let me come back and say something about this matter of demon possession. First of all, there's several facts concerning demons that need to be stated. Not only Mark, but all of Scripture bears a definite witness to the reality of demons. For those who accept the authority of Scriptures, there must be an acceptance of the reality of demons, their reality. And by the way, we're living in a day right now where we're beginning to see a resurgence and a manifestation of demonism again. I think many illustrations could be given today. Now, the second thing we need to say is they were especially evident during the ministry of Jesus, but they were not confined, of course, to that period. Then the third thing, for some strange reason, they seek to indwell mankind. They seek to manifest their evil nature through human beings, and they're extremely restless. This description is clear. Luke, in his account, says this, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto the house whence I came out. Isn't this not characteristic of all evil, even evil man? There is the restlessness of seeking expression of the evil nature. Good spirits never seek to take possession of man. The Holy Spirit is the one exception, and he only indwells believers. But as truly as he indwells believers, demons can possess the unsaved, but they could not possess the saved. We are told greater is he that's in us, the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world, Satan. And therefore, a child of God could not be demon-possessed. Now, another thing we should say, the fourth thing, in this incident, the demons would rather go into a herd of swine than into the abyss. That's interesting. And then the fifth thing, they should be called demons and not devils. And there's only one devil, and our translation, of course, is faulty, and I made the change as I read. They're called unclean spirits because of their nature. And then the sixth thing, Scripture does not give us the origin of them at all. And anything I would say today would be highly speculative. The seventh thing is, there seems to be many of them. The eighth thing is, they are under the control of Satan. Now, I said I would not speculate, but here I go. I am of the opinion that the fall of Satan, these were the angels that followed him. Now, having said that, let's not say any more. And the ninth thing we should say is, their purpose is the final undoing of man. They are certainly working on Satan's program. The tenth thing we should say is, there are present-day examples of demon possession. We've mentioned that before. We could offer many illustrations of that. We have Satan worship right here in Southern California. And there are a lot of college students and professors that are in it. And they say they find reality in it. I think they do, by the way. I think Satan's prepared to give reality to those who will worship him. But what kind of reality do you find? No, that is the important thing. Then the 11th and final thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ has power over demons. And that, I think, is the great lesson for us to learn. There's no reason for any believer to be afraid of demons or to adopt some superstitious or spooky notion concerning them. If you feel like that you are bothered with them, then just ask the Lord Jesus to deliver you. They have been cast out in his name, and it's a lack of faith for you to walk in fear today of them. And it means that you certainly need a little counseling if you got to the place where you think that they can control you in any way or possess you or direct you. There's a very lovely poem written by Joseph H. Odell about this, and you know that the people of Gadara came and asked the Lord Jesus to leave their coast, and the reason it was they'd rather have swine than have him. And that's a rather heart-searching question for the present day, because there are a lot of people would rather have other things that are just as bad as pigs than to have Christ. Listen to this poem now. Rabbi, begone. Thy powers bring loss to us and ours. Our ways are not as thine. Thou lovest man, we swine. O, get thee hence, omnipotence, and take this fool of thine, his soul. What care we for his soul? What good to us that thou hast made him whole, since we have lost our swine? And Christ went sadly. He had wrought for them a sign of love and hope and tenderness divine. They wanted swine. Christ stands without your door and gently knocks. But if your goal are swine, the entrance blocks. He forces no man's hole. He will depart and leave you to the treasure of your heart. No cumbered chamber will the master share, but one swept bare of cleansing fires, then plenish fresh and fair with meekness and humility and prayer. There he will come, yet coming even there, he stands and waits and will no entrance win until the latch be lifted from within. What a remarkable incident this is. It reveals his power.